Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. This time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m., and overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show's entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And, by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And also a quick shout out not only to my stations who have been kind enough to take me for over 2.5 decades, but also all these podcast networks that have been picking us up as of late as well. We're talking about Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, India, Italy. We're talking Apple, of course, Spotify. Very happy to be with them. And also, don't want to leave out CRN Talk. Check us out at crntalk.com. We're on their Channel 4. They also carry us through Roku. So thanks to everybody, but most assuredly to my audience, without whom none of this is possible. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, Israel launches a devastating preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear weapons capability and does so shortly after garnering, quote-unquote, high-quality intel, apparently showing it had accumulated enough enriched uranium to make 9 atomic bombs. What's next on that horizon? Also, Trump snaps up quick court reversal wins on immigration and his use of the National Guard. Will they stick, though? And California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla is hauled away and handcuffed after lunging and screaming at Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christine Noem, apparently during a press conference, while California Governor Newsom incoherently calls the Fed's actions dictatorial. Is this guy high or just functionally illiterate? Also, the House passes the president's budget-cutting $9.4 billion rescission bill by a vote of 214 to 212. How will the Senate vote, given that only a simple majority is needed for its passage? These rescission packages are like reconciliation bills. They only require a majority vote in the Senate, just like the House. It doesn't need to pass that 60-level threshold, which has always been imbecilic. And I've discussed my problems with the filibuster a long time ago. I wanted to get rid of that, even when the Democrats were trying to get rid of it. And I knew it would be harmful to the GOP in many respects, as well as to the whole country. But the bottom line is, when you get rid of that filibuster, all of a sudden, everybody who casts a vote no longer can hide behind whether or not the filibuster would have preempted it. You know, they don't get to say, well, I was actually for it, or I was actually against it, and then vote in a way that's not commensurate with its, you know, likely turnout. Because that's what happens. I mean, you can say that you know, you could be personally, you could be against the bill, but act like you're for it so as to propitiate the otherwise frayed nerves of your constituents. but you have peace of mind knowing all along that it's not a chance that it's going to pass. So you get to vote in a way for which you'll not be held accountable. You know, that's the problem with the filibuster. The other problem, of course, is it allows the minority party to have an easier time blocking a bill than it allows for the majority party to pass it. And I'm sorry, I believe that's wrong, regardless of which party's in power. Anyway, let me move beyond that. Apparently, soon after the UN's nuclear watchdog, you know, the International Atomic Energy Agency, soon after the watchdog voted that Iran was in violation of its obligation under the 1970 Non-Proliferation Treaty, Israel deployed about 200 planes, taking out some 100 targets, including Iran's main nuclear capabilities at Natanz. What happened is the Jewish state cited, again, quote-unquote, high-quality intel, making it clear that Iran was too close to completing 9 atomic bombs, thus presenting an existential threat that had to be answered. Big question is, where do we go from here? Now, according to the Atlantic Journal-Constitution, we learn the following. Among those killed were three of Iran's top military leaders, one who oversaw the entire armed forces, General Mohammad Bagheri, one who led the paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, General Hossein Salami, and another who ran the Guard's ballistic missile program, General Amir Ali Hajizadeh. Iran confirmed all three deaths, which were, by the way, a significant blow to Tehran's governing theocracy and will complicate efforts to retaliate against Israel. Khamenei said there are other top military officials and scientists who were also killed. I'm surprised they're even admitting that. Anyway, end of excerpt. Now, Iran responded by firing off about 100 drones, but virtually all were destroyed outside Israeli airspace. No information about the ones that may have gotten through, but it doesn't appear that any did. Israel says that they're at the beginning of destroying much of Iran's nuclear capabilities, much of its military capabilities, to tell you the truth. And, of course, Iran is insisting that there's more punishment to be visited upon Israel. Now, rhetoric aside, has Iran perhaps bitten off more than it can chew? And I'm wondering if that gives Trump more leverage to push Iran back to the bargaining table vis-a-vis giving up their nuclear program ambitions. Now, to the question of Trump's leverage, he wrote on Truth Social that, quote, Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction. Just do it before it is too late, unquote. Now, I know Trump's given to hyperbole, but the reality is, given that the guy hinted about the very attack Israel wound up launching, will Iran grasp the fact that there's reason to take Trump's heads up seriously? Mind-bending, isn't it? Now, of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, former guest on this show, he has repeatedly stated that Israel is attacking the Iranian dictators and not the Iranian people. Now, given that Iran's citizens despise their leaders, is there a chance that most understand that? I mean, yeah, 99% of them are out of harm's way. But, you know, if someone runs you over with their car and says, listen, I was going for the other guy, don't take it personally. I mean, you got to wonder, whoa, are they really going to be that receptive? Now, the truth is, the Iranian people love the West. They despise their leadership. And they understand that extricating themselves from any kind of slave-like posture currently describing their existing status quo is going to involve some growing pains. But understanding that intellectually and then going through it physically are two entirely different types of perspectives. It's just the way it is. You know, it's unfortunate. As I mentioned, Trump has had some court wins, two of them actually. Firstly, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia granted the Justice Department's request for an administrative stay, pausing a lower court's order to provide, I guess, what is really retroactive due process rights to illegal Venezuelan immigrants who had already been deported to El Salvador under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act. Now, just how big of a win is this for the president? I would suggest quite a big deal, although, again, it's not yet settled. more pellet processes ahead. What happened is U.S. District Judge James Boasberg had ordered the administration to get hundreds of these then illegals back and provide them not only habeas corpus hearings, but also the opportunity to challenge their status as gang members if they were really such things. But it's all really a moot point. I mean, while habeas corpus can make sense because it's nothing more than confirming that these folks have the identities and status as claimed by the government, any other due process rights simply don't exist unless they're being charged for the purposes of going to a trial. You see, once their status as illegals has been confirmed, there are no remaining due process rights because Title VIII then grants the president, as reaffirmed by the Supreme Court regarding Trump's Remain in Mexico case, the ultimate jurisdiction over said illegal immigrants. Does it not? You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but new research offers hope. A recent clinical trial shows that a once-daily anti-inflammatory medication may help reduce dangerous plaque in the arteries, offering new options for people living with heart disease. Cardiologist and program director at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Matthew Budoff, explains how this breakthrough could change cardiovascular care.
We found that low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligrams, can help reduce coronary plaque volume and inflammation in patients with heart disease. This may offer a new way to prevent future heart attacks or strokes by targeting a root cause, inflammation.
These findings build on prior research showing low-dose colchicine's role in lowering cardiovascular risk in high-risk patients, and it could be a vital part of your doctor's care plan.
When combined with other standard treatments, low-dose colchicine offers another tool to help patients live longer, healthier lives.
Learn more at CVDinflammation.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. I mean, this is just like one of those days where there's so much into which I could get and so little time to pull it off. I mean, really, you could blindfold yourself, throw a dart, and you're going to hit something that's newsworthy. Beyond interesting times in which we live. We are addressing a number of things. Israel launches a devastating preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear weapons capabilities. Does so shortly after garnering, quote-unquote, high-quality intel, showing it had accumulated enough enriched uranium to make 9 atomic bombs. What's next? Also, Trump snaps up quick court reversal wins on immigration and his use of the National Guard. Will they stick, though? Also, California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla is hauled away and handcuffed after lunging and screaming at Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem. All this happened during a press conference while, of course, California Governor Newsom incoherently calls the Fed's actions dictatorial. I mean, is Newsom high or just functionally illiterate? And then also I want to dash into how the House has passed the president's budget-cutting $9.4 billion rescission bill by a number of 214 to 212. But will the Senate vote, go along with it, given that it only requires a simple majority needed for passage? Assisting in the opining and analyzing, we have old friend of the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional committees and regulatory bodies. He was up on Capitol Hill, I think, just last month. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks.
No, good to have you. Good to have you. I want to cover a number of things, but before we get to the $9.4 billion rescission bill and whether or not it's going to make much of an impact or whether or not the Senate's really going to go along with what the House did, I want us to have a look at this Alex Padilla character. He apparently lunged towards the secretary, not identifying who he is. And it looks as if they just did this for the purpose of generating subsequent theater. But anyway, here's a listen to a bit of what happened when Alex Padilla was escorted away after having apparently comported himself like a ragamuffin who was just on the charge. And again, the guy never identified himself up to this point. Clip 14, James, if you please.
I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your heads off.
You little brat. Anyway, I want you to listen to this assessment on CNN's The Arena with Cassie Hunt. You have CNN's Josh Campbell breaking down Padilla's interruption of DHS Secretary Christine Noem. And as multiple incidents, by the way. Clip 15, James, if you please.
It's easy to think about this as one incident, but actually from a law enforcement perspective, we're really looking at separate incidents that happened within a short period of time. First, you have the DHS secretary who is addressing the press. This was not a Q&A period, and she's interrupted. She's interrupted by someone who is speaking very loudly, and so her security detail confronts what we obviously now know to be the senator, and at that point, he is now going to be escorted out. You can't interrupt something like that that's already in progress without having those consequences. But the second incident, in my view, happens the moment as officers are trying to lead him out. He then turns and walks back towards kind of into those agents. At that point, from a security detail perspective, we're taking this person out against their will. We've asked the person, and again, this is all happening very quickly. But the moment he then turns into them, they realize this is not someone who is going to comply.
Now, again, that was a Josh Campbell breaking down Alex Padilla's interruption and how he really had no right to expect to be treated as a senator when, in fact, he did not present himself as one, didn't have the identification pin, nothing on him. Tom Schatz, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, what a putz. I mean, Democrats love to, I mean, really, Democrats love to manufacture events so they have events about which to whine. Where am I being too snarky?
Of course. Wait, a senator or a member of Congress is engaging in showmanship to promote themselves? How shocking. Yeah, right. I never saw that in my 42 years in Washington, D.C., or maybe it's longer. I can't even remember. But the but this is certainly something that they needed to take seriously. Again, didn't identify himself, and if he wanted a meeting with the senator, sorry, with the secretary, excuse me, to discuss anything, he can simply make that appointment or talk to her at a hearing. And she ended up talking to him afterwards, once they determined that he was a senator. And then everything, you know, went the way it should have. But yes, it created a little bit of a firestorm for a few hours. It's not anything that's going to make a difference in anybody's life or his career. But again, just proving how crazy people in California are.
Well, but so many senators and other congressional leaders had their talking points already prepared. It was as if everybody knew in advance that this was going to happen. So get ready to pounce on it once the event comes and goes. I mean, Senator Padilla, look, he rushed to Noem's podium while ranting loudly like a big juvenile and not identifying himself as a senator. I can't help but to wonder where the hell is his defense. Also, it does seem as if Democrats thrive on pretending to be perpetually offended so they can justify being indefinitely outraged. But I'm thinking their cringeworthy amateur theatrics are really fooling nobody with an IQ above a phlegm-filled spit bucket. Or am I being too harsh, Tom?
Well, given their perception by the country, everybody says, oh, Donald Trump is not so popular. But compared to the Democrats, he's, like, amazing in terms of popularity. You know, what are they at, like, less than 20%?
They're in the toilet. Yeah. They're in the toilet.
Right.
And if
he's trying to become the leader of the Democrats with this display, well, then good luck to them.
Oh, my God. And not only that, the guy, by the way, was never elected. He was actually appointed to take the place of the Biden's vice president, Kamala Harris. I mean, when she left California, she had just won her seat. She's made vice president. So this guy gets to be appointed for a 6-year term. I mean, that was juicy. But the bottom line is he was never elected. You know, he was originally tapped to be, I think, the attorney general out of California. But I'm thinking, you know, no wonder Obama's former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, now calls his brethren Democrats, quote unquote, a party of punks. Does he have a point, Tom?
Yes, because this is the kind of action that they take. It's funny, I live in Washington, D.C., and I'm seeing ads for Virginia for primaries for lieutenant governor and attorney general. And all they talk about is how they're going to get Trump. What does either of those positions have to do with getting Trump? They don't talk about what they're doing for the state. And every Democrat thinks that's the solution. Well, that didn't work very well last fall, not worked very well in other places, but this is all they can focus on. And the same thing occurs with this kind of situation. Well, she works for Trump. I'm going to go after her.
Well, Harry Enten, the digital guru over at CNN, has made it abundantly clear that when it comes to immigration and all battles surrounding it, Democrats, quote unquote, don't have a clue. I mean, in poll after poll after poll, Americans are siding with Trump as it relates to how he's dealing with this, including the National Guard. I mean, Ipsos puts Trump ahead by 19 points. My God, Insider Advantage has Trump at 59, approval, disapproval at 39 as it relates to immigration management. I mean, with these kinds of numbers, where the hell do Democrats think they're going to go but further south in the polls? Or again, am I being overly sanguine about their negative prospects, Tom Schatz?
Oh, they're going down and they're staying down because they don't have an agenda that people want to support.
No, they do not. Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. Always a pleasure, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Here in the Great Hall of Shells at the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum and Aquarium, you can see behind me plenty of species that we mentioned, right? So we wanted to find a way to celebrate, if you will, and invite everybody to come celebrate with us wherever you may be. Of course, we want you here. But different things you can do is visit inside here and learn a little bit about the shells and then go out onto the beach and pick them yourselves and then bring them home as a souvenir. Because we are the seashell capital of the world, we wanted to coincide with the first day of summer as well, because what better way to celebrate, right? So you're welcome. There's plenty of things to do, but we always want to see you here. Even more fun to do it around this time of year.
Here on the islands, there is so much to do, not just here, but also on our Wild Mile, which incorporates so much of our outdoor space, the birds and animals and species that you can find on San Juan Captiva Island. And then we invite you to go on out to the beach, as Miriam mentioned.
Head to visitfortmyers.com. You can get some inspiration, see some photos, and even itineraries there.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, if that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. Well, a lot of stories we're covering, but obviously what's at the top of the sheet is Israel. Israel launches this devastating preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear weapons capabilities, does so shortly after garnering high-quality intel, showing it had accumulated enough enriched uranium to make 9 atom bombs. So what's next on this horizon? Well, as Democrats are typically critical of Israel, no matter what's going on, plan on that particular posture being replicated for all to see over and over again. But some Democrats are a little more enlightened, like old friend of mine, Julian Epstein, former chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee. And again, a Democrat, devoted Democrat, but he is like Rahm Emanuel, former chief of staff for Barack Obama, demonstrating some capacity for self-appraisal and acknowledging where his party has simply lost it. I mean, John Fetterman as well, senator from the great state of Pennsylvania, Democrat extraordinaire. Here's a guy who's repeatedly being very critical of his party when it comes to their posture on a number of things, not just immigration, but also Israel. And Julian Epstein, however, again, former chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee, used to work very closely with then with the late Congressman Conyers, made some important points recently while as a guest on the Fox News channel. And I want everybody to have a listen to this because his insights are worth taking to heart. James, let's go ahead and bring up clip 16. This is going to be Julian Epstein on Fox News' Fox News Live with Jonathan Hunt. And this is what he has to say about the recent attack by Israel against Iran and why it was necessary. Clip 16, James, if you please.
The Iranian regime is the closest thing we have to the Nazi regime, which if they get a nuclear weapon, they will have the means to commit another Holocaust. So what Israel is doing is not just self-defense. It's completely valid self-defense. But I think the rest of the world owes Israel a great debt of gratitude, including the United States, because Iran doesn't just want to destroy Israel and kill all the Jews. It wants to use the nuclear weapon to colonize the Middle East and to control the Middle East. That's why Saudi, that's why Jordan, that's why UAE, and that's why most of the rest of the Arab world is silently cheering the Israeli attack. So to your question about the U.S. is clearly supporting this. They're not actively engaged in a tactical way. Trump made it very clear that the end of the Obama-Biden policy of appeasement, which is what the 2015 agreement was, which was a bad agreement, Trump made it clear that we were seeing an end to that. And this is the logical conclusion here, because Iran was never going to bargain in good faith. They weren't in good faith. They want a nuclear weapon that they can use to terrorize Israel first and then the rest of the world. Yeah.
Offering some analysis on this, we have old friend of the show, Kenneth Abramowitz, founder of SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He's author of the highly praised work entitled The Multifront War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. Kenneth, great to have you back. How are you today?
Oh, great. Thank you. Happy to be with you.
Good to have you. Good to have you. Now, we just heard what Julian Epstein had to say, old friend of the show. We've had him on a bunch of times, although it's been quite a while. I got to get him back. Again, former chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee. He, I think, offered, even though he's a Democrat, he offered some incredible insights. And I think his explanation was spot on, or maybe you disagree. Where am I off the mark?
Oh, he was very good. I could just embellish it a little bit. And that is, Iran has publicly called for, as you know, death to America, death to Israel. Now, Israel is 80% Jewish and America is 90% Christian. So they've, in effect, declared war on both Jews and Christians. However, in America, Americans think that they want to kill Jews, which is true, but they also want to kill Christians and then take over the Middle East, take over the world, and then kill everyone who's not like them. So there, I called them an Islamo-Nazi death cult, and someone had to stop them. It's a sad state of affairs that no one stopped them for 45 years until finally Israel did.
And I think a lot of folks believe that this was eventually going to be the only way it was going to happen anyway. Now, here's the irony. Soon after the UN's nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, voted that Iran was in violation of its obligation under the 1970 non-nuclear proliferation treaty, or the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. This is when Israel deployed about 200 planes, taking out some 100 targets, and this included, of course, Iran's main nuclear capabilities at Natanz. The Jewish state cited, quote, high-quality intel making it clear that Iran apparently was too close to completing 9 atomic bombs, which obviously presented an existential threat to Israel. It had to be answered. So the big question is, where do we go from here? What do you see happening?
Just to add 5 words to your last sentence, Iran's an existential threat to America. You know, one nuclear bomb in Washington, I think, or New York, I think we have a big problem. So where do we go from here? Israel has plenty of more targets to go. And so it was bombing during the day because Iran has no defenses anymore. So Israel can bomb whatever it wants to bomb. But it prefers to bomb at night. So I'll guess that tonight there'll be another 200 airplanes and 100 targets or so because there's always more nuclear sites, there's more Air Force sites, there's more Revolutionary Guard sites, more government sites. And I don't think Israel's touched the Navy yet, so I'm keeping my eyes open to see if they blow up naval sites.
I'm not only keeping my eyes open about that question, I'm not only keeping my eyes open on that question, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, because I hope they do. I mean, Iran, of course, as you know, responded by simply firing off about 100 drones, but I think all of them were destroyed outside Israel's airspace. Now, Israel says they're at the beginning of destroying much of Iran's nuclear capabilities. Is it fair to say that they're perhaps at the beginning of destroying much of Iran's overall military capabilities? What say you?
Well, I'll guess that we're in the fourth inning, and after tonight, we'll be in the sixth or seventh inning. And now bear in mind, Iran has, or theoretically has, or had, 2,000 long-range ballistic missiles that were, many of which were capable of reaching Israel. Now, for some, I happen to be in Israel right now, and we're all anxious, just as tourists, that some of those missiles will come our way. I'm sure Israel blew up a lot of them last night or disabled them, perhaps with cyber capabilities.
Well, listen, I want you to be so careful. Know that a lot of folks are thinking of you. All Americans are over there. I mean, just be careful. I mean, I was over there on assignment during the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict years ago when missiles were being fired from both Hamas and Hezbollah, yellow from Hamas, green from Hezbollah. And I remember that the Israelis seemed to comport themselves in a fashion that you wouldn't see in most other countries. It typifies the kind of countenance and fortitude commensurate only with a nation that has grown accustomed to always being under threat. I thought it was amazing to watch them. I was there on assignment. I also interviewed Benjamin Netanyahu at that time. He had been prime minister, but at that time he was not. He was out of power. And then, of course, subsequent to my departure, he wound up winning again. So please be very, very careful, as I know you are being. It's just, it's almost trite as I hear it coming out of my mouth. What else can you be but as careful as possible? But our thoughts are with you. Now, getting back to this issue, I'm wondering if, because Iran has perhaps bitten off more than it can chew, does this perhaps give Trump more leverage to push Iran back to the bargaining table vis-a-vis giving up the nuclear program? Because he wrote this on Truth Social, quote, Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction, just do it before it's too late. Now, given that Trump hinted about the very attack Israel did wind up launching, will Iran grasp the fact that there's reason to take Trump's heads up very seriously? Your sense of it.
Well, the history of evil people is they're evil to the end. You know, the Japanese, the Germans, they didn't surrender because they wanted to work out a deal. That was unconditional surrender. So I expect these death cult members will go down with the ship, just as their friend, the Hamas death cult, went down with the ship, Hezbollah down with the ship. So, but Trump wants to hold out the possibility that they will not have to go down with the ship. So Israel's basically blowing up the nuclear weapons in the enrichment program that they refuse to give up. Now the question is, will they give up after Israel forces them to give it up? Will Israel then go after the economy? Will it blow up the oil, the natural gas, the refinery? Israel's purposely holding back on that to help Trump create a deal. If there's a deal to be had, they won't have to do that.
Incredible. Incredible. But I see your logic. I see your insights. Now, Netanyahu, of course, has repeatedly stated that Israel is attacking the Iranian dictators and not the Iranian people themselves. Given that Iran's citizens despise their leaders very quickly, is there a chance that most will understand that, yes or no?
Well, I'm praying for regime change and wonderful relations between Iran, Israel, and America.
We'll let it end right there. Kenneth Abramowitz, thanks again for being with us. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork. That's AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan from Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
it's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, the lighter you could be with us. Well, again, so much we're trying to jam in. And while I want to cover everything I cited as topics to be covered today, I'm really stuck on what's happening with Israel. I mean, this is just taking all the oxygen out of the room, as it were. Israel, of course, launched this devastating preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear weapons capability. This was shortly after garnering quote-unquote high-quality intel showing that Iran had accumulated apparently enough enriched uranium to make about 9 atomic bombs. And you have a lot of people on the left saying, well, all this could have been avoided if Trump hadn't walked away from Obama's so beautifully put together JCPOA deal. The Washington Post had once written about this, saying, this all hinges on the access given to international watchdogs and their ability. Supporters claim the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action grants them unprecedented access. You know, these folks have to learn that words have meaning. And if you're going to use these words, what you say must have something to do with what they mean. Otherwise, you're talking out of your backside. Because that deal allowed Iran to get a 24-day heads up before inspectors could arrive at these undeclared sites to see if they were upholding their end of the bargain having to do with the treaty. And that, of course, naturally allowed for the compromising of evidence. And, you know, when all this happened, Obama was asked about that, and he defended the deal concerning this point because he said, well, the nuclear material would leave traces for years beyond that 24-day window, so Iran can't cheat. We'd catch them. But that was a deceptive answer because that's not the only thing to be concerned about. It wasn't the only measure. Yeah, fine, inspectors would be able to detect radioactive isotopes well beyond that 24-day delay, fine. But during those 24 days, Iran would be able to hide the illicit advancement of what's called possible military dimensions, or if you will, PMDs. And these are tools for building bombs that don't emit radioactivity. And that would have been proof of non-compliance because that was something that they're not supposed to be doing. But if we give them a 24-day heads up before dropping by, that stuff can be made to disappear. Now, what are some examples of PMDs? Well, if Iran's military leadership ordered any in-depth nuclear-related activities, that would be a PMD, possible military development or dimensions. If the government called for R&D teams to work on detonators for nuclear weapons, that would constitute a PMD. When scientists conduct experiments to test the aerodynamics of weapons designs or, I don't know, work on figuring out how to load a warhead onto a missile, those are PMDs. At the time, even Chuck Schumer was against that. But here's the thing that really ticked me off. Iran had secret side deals with the IAEA that specifically permitted Iranian government personnel to be in charge of handling soil samples to the IAEA whenever the IAEA did want to inspect undeclared sites. I mean, think about it. Since when do the subjects of investigations get to participate in the chain of custody that manages the evidence by which those subjects are to be assessed and judged for treaty compliance? Is it fair to say that the answer is never? Are you kidding me? Trump did us a favor by walking away from that deal because it was pretty much stacked against are ever being able to hold them to account. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing Colonel William Dunn, USMC retired. He flew many of the world's deadliest hotspots or in many of the world's deadliest hotspots on dozens of combat missions as an attack helicopter pilot. And by the way, he's now president of Strategic Resilience Group, LLC. His latest book is the highly praised work entitled Gunfighters Rule. He's here to chat with us about Operation Rising Lion, which is Israel's launched attacks against Iran. Colonel, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing outstanding, and thanks for having me back, Alan.
No, good to have it. Good. I'm doing well. Well, Israel, deployed about 200 planes, took out about 100 targets. Iran responded with 100 or so drones. They were mostly taken out well beyond Israel's airspace. But it looks as if Israel took out a lot of Iran's leadership, at least as it relates to all things nuclear. This has marginalized their ability to have any sustained attacks against Israel. And clearly Israel seems to have dramatically and measurably reduced Iran's nuclear capability. Julian Epstein, former legal counsel for the House Judiciary Committee, was recently on Fox, Democrat, saying, hey, the world owes Israel a debt of thanks. What say you on all this?
I agree. I expected this attack. I had some information that it was going to happen soon. I didn't know it was going to happen yesterday. They attacked exactly how I predicted. They're going to go in strong. They're going to take out the nuclear facilities first, take out their air defenses. It's a campaign. They had to do it. Iran pushed them to a point of no return. They had no other choice. And I know there's a bunch of pundits saying they could have waited, we could have made a deal. That didn't work. They were obviously progressing towards weapons, and they promised once they got one, they were going to destroy Israel and the United States with it. So amazing mission, amazing attack. They need to keep it up. And what I've said this a couple times, right? What I would recommend to the Israeli Defense Forces is focus solely on war-supporting infrastructure. Don't hit anything economically. Take out their boats, take out their ships, take out their missiles, their drone facilities, and blow their nuclear capability back at least five decades to prevent them from trying to start all over again.
And also, that would marginalize their grip on the people as well, because Israel is always saying, we've got nothing against the Iranian people, only the dictatorial government under which they're suppressed. Now, given that Trump, when you look at it, I'm wondering if, rhetoric aside, do all these developments perhaps give Trump more leverage to push Iran back to the bargaining table vis-a-vis giving up the nuclear program? Because on the question of Trump's leverage, he wrote this on Truth Social. He said, quote, Iran must make a deal before there's nothing left and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction. Just do it before it's too late. Now, given that Trump hinted about the very attack Israel did wind up launching, will Iran, in your opinion, will Iran grasp the fact that there's reason to take Trump's heads up very seriously? Colonel.
No, I don't think they will. They knew this was coming as well. They pushed back. Now that it's happened, we have to finish this. And I think the next step is for the Iranian people to make some massive demands inside their country and prevent this provocative lifestyle from continuing.
Well, with a weakened Iranian government, perhaps now that option is more viable than it's ever been before. Always great to have you on board. Thanks again, Colonel William Dunn, U.S. Embassy retired. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.